It's 6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Standard Time. For those of you who did not set your clocks back, no, shame on you. That should have happened yesterday at 2 a.m. That's right. How many people actually get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and set their clocks back? I don't know too many people. I usually do it before I go to bed. But anyway, so hopefully you got a good night's sleep, because I think you got an extra hour in there somewhere. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We certainly appreciate you joining us, because if America, like all of these folks are saying in mainstream media, of course you won't hear a lot of the stuff that we talk about here on the Power Hour. America is suffering from a psychosis, mass psychosis, and it's because of the fear-mongering that Americans have had to be subjected to for the last 20-some-odd months, and some of them are still being subjected. A lot of them are coming out of their shells, and they're quitting their jobs, and they're being fired, and they're protesting this vaccine mandate, which a federal judge has now said, no, you're not doing this, I'm injuncting you from doing it, because there's some constitutional issues here that come into play. I would say that that's a pretty good indicator of the fact that Americans, given the elections last week, are waking up and understand what's going on. To add a little more clarity to the situation here on the Power Hour, I finally get a chance to go on microphone with this gentleman who, actually, I've been reading his articles for the last year. It's under technocracy.news. Yes, technocracy is actually a word. And Patrick Wood has talked about the Great Reset, the disconnect from reality, all of this stuff. I mean, our listeners are looking for clarity, and hopefully we're going to get some of that on today's show here in this second hour of the Power Hour. Patrick Wood, welcome.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And so the scenario as it is, you actually started up another website in 2018 called citizensforfreespeech.org. And I'm curious as to what prompted you to do that.
Yeah, actually, it's a nonprofit organization, way beyond just a website at this point. But what I saw in 2017 and a little bit before that was the actual collusion in between big tech social media giants to single out certain people to remove them from the internet. This had not happened previously. We had shadow banning, and we had other, subtle types of, censorship. But when I saw people start to drop out, 1, 2, 3, like they get dumped on Facebook, the next day they get dumped on Twitter, the next day they get removed from the search engine at Google, I knew something was going on behind the scenes that was much, much bigger than the sum of the parts. And that's what prompted me to start Citizens for Free Speech, because I saw this as a massive frontal assault on the First Amendment of our Constitution. And of course, the First Amendment is misunderstood by a lot of people, but the framers of the Constitution intended for the First Amendment to contain and protect the unalienable rights that they believed people had, to free speech and freedom of worship, et cetera, right to assemble. And they basically told Congress, keep their hands off of it. You just don't touch it. Leave it alone. And so I saw this as an attack, not just on the First Amendment, but also on those unalienable rights that we're supposed to have, that are granted by God, not by man, and they're not really available for man to take away. So off we went, and when COVID hit last year, it just went nuts, absolutely went nuts. Again, a huge attack on the First Amendment, people wearing face muzzles, staying at home. They couldn't even reach their legislators. Churches were shut down, limited on how many people could attend, social distancing, all that kind of stuff. It was crazy. So we have grown a lot in the last few years, and we're still at it. We have over 36,000 members nationwide now, memberships in every state. We're plugging on. This is something that just has to get out to the American people. We promote local activism, by the way, in a very strong way. So that's what it's all about.
Right. Well, now understand, folks, Patrick Wood is also the author of Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. This is a book he put out in 2015, and he co-authored Trilaterals Over Washington, Volume 1 and 2, Volumes 1 and 2. This is from 1978 to 1980 with the late Anthony C. Sutton. And see, the thing is that a lot of people are aware of the Trilateral Commission, as they are Council on Foreign Relations and various other think tank groups out there that actually are all self-aggrandizing and working against us in, you know, promoting stuff like Agenda 21, 2030 Agenda. I know that Alex Jones has uncovered a ton of information about this and the fact that the entire COVID scenario was pre-planned as to how the government was going to react, and censorship was the biggest part of this, was it not, Patrick?
Well, censorship has been something that went along with it. It's necessary to censor in any revolution from the revolutionary standpoint. I do believe, and I said this at the very beginning of COVID, that this is technocracy's coup d'etat on the whole planet. It wasn't just America, it was everything. Every country has fallen prey to this, unfortunately. So every revolution in modern history has started with the takeover of the media. They run out the old guard media, and they imply, you know, they set in their propaganda organs to create their narrative that they want to support the revolution. This is exactly what's happened, and it's not just in America. This is one reason I know it's global, because, yeah, it's not just America. Our media is in shambles, by and large, but so is everybody else's around the world, too. So this is part and parcel of the revolution that's taking place right now. It's taking over the media, destroying knowledge, electronic book burning, like what's happening at Google, for instance, and at Amazon.com, and other places as well, where books are being taken out of existence, or papers are being taken out of existence, just disappeared. So anyway, that's kind of long and short of it.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame, because of the fact that a lot of this information that's out there now, is being put out a lot by America's frontline doctors and people like yourself that are proponents of not just free speech, but proponents against the surveillance society, because it just seems like, and this is what you've been focusing on with technocracy, they're looking for, I mean, last week we did a report on scientific studies that scientists have been doing regarding smart toilets, where you sit on the toilet and all of a sudden it takes your picture. It's like your anal sphincter has fingerprints of its own. And I just scratch my head going, what will they think of next? And I mean, the thing is, now they got fusion centers, and people don't even know what fusion centers are. I know you do, Patrick, because you've been digging into this stuff, and you know, being called a conspiracy theorist, I mean, that term didn't even come up until the late 60s, courtesy of the CIA, I believe.
Yep, and I have to say, Sutton and I helped them perfect that term, because that's what was used against us all the time. And
interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny, they can say it against us, you know, but the thing is when it comes to solutions, they don't have any. They just know that, look, we have to do this agenda, because if we don't, it's like we have to pass this bill so we can find out what's in it. I mean, that is the most nonsensical logic-based argument I've ever, or illogical-based argument I've ever heard in my life. And all this is, but people don't understand, and for them to even stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, this is not a conspiracy, this is a reality, we're not disconnected, we're waking up and we understand, this is, we know what you're trying to do, and you're trying to get to our kids first, but then when they take people like Naomi Wolf, who I've had on the show before, and they censor her, and she's a Democrat, she's a constitutionalist.
Yeah.
So for them to do something like that and take her off Twitter and YouTube, I mean, I was just blown away. I had to get her on the show and talk to her about it. And the thing is that I don't care if she's Democrat or libertarian like me or whatever the case may be. We all have a fundamental constitutional right, which you've been narrowing in on your articles, which we read from time to time. So this MITRE, you've been doing some research into this. Could you explain what that is?
Oh, boy. Well, oh, this is just, it's difficult to explain, I have to say, but
layman's terms.
Give it my shot.
Okay.
MITRE is an old line organization, think tank. They've been around for several decades, and they have kind of been, in my opinion, after studying this whole situation, they're run by, the organization is run by top retired brass. That is 4-star generals and the like that have retired from the military. And then they go into private industry and they end up working for an organization like MITRE. Well, it's a military intelligence group, essentially, that has been involved in all kinds over the years, decades, of spook operations that couldn't really be laid at the hands of the government because they weren't the government. They were private. So they went off and they did this private thing over here on the side. But in the process of that, they came up with all this weird technology, surveillance technology and stuff that's being used to entrap us right now. And come to find out, this organization, MITRE, is the actual driver for digital vaccine passports in America. And from a point of technocracy, that's important. That's, you know, this is, okay, this is one of the major places where it's coming from. And the fact that the leadership is all top brass military is equally disturbing because this has apparently been primarily a military operation from the get-go. We can look at, for instance, DARPA. That's the Pentagon's research group that does all kinds of spooky stuff. And you've got IARPA, which is another government organization that does spooky stuff. They're kind of accountable and a little bit of transparency there, but in the case of MITRE, they're off balance sheet, they're off budget, they have nothing to do with the government whatsoever, and yet they serve the government with all the technology they invent and develop. It's like, yeah, MITRE, MITRE. People should check it out, read the article, and see for yourself.
No doubt. This is kind of a scary situation when you look at the fact that this digital vaccine passport, it falls in line with what the government, the current administration, is trying to do. And when you have these think tanks out there that are trying to continually drive this narrative, I mean, here is an emergency use authorization that they lied about. And we just talked about this in our last hour, Patrick. Comirnaty is a German-made BioNTech substance, and that's the only thing that the FDA's approved, and the American people have been lied to. And, of course, if anybody happens to jump into the narrative and say, hey, that's not really what happened here, they get shut down. This obviously is also planned. People are going to networks like Substack and BitChute, Rumble, places like that. It's about the only way that you're going to be able to get the news out. As far as people who are seeking the truth and want to know more, our frontline doctors have even resorted to stuff like that. And Kerry Mahdi and David Martin, who I'm sure you're probably aware of, these are both frontline people. David Martin is a professor at University of Virginia, is also does research into corporate patent work. And he uncovered stuff in researching the patents for COVID and everything else that basically he said would make the hair stand up on end. On the back of your neck, and he said, this is, as did Kerry Mahdi, who's a doctor, frontline doctor out of Atlanta, said the only thing that we can see logically that this whole scenario has been engineered to do is to depopulate the United States of America. Are you getting that same sense?
Well, this has been part of the technocrat, you know, globalist agenda for a very long time. We saw it come out, especially kind of publicly, if you will, and the Agenda 21 conference that took place in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. So it's been around for a long time. People, you know, the mainstream media has denied it. Anybody that talks about it gets branded as a conspiracy theorist immediately. But it's been in documents for a very, very long time. There was a major document back done by the Club of Rome, I think it was 1968, called Limits to Growth. And they proposed that there should be a massive depopulation of the planet in order to balance out the resources with the people consuming those resources. This is also the underpinning of sustainable development, by the way, that the United Nations promotes. So it's nothing new, and we see the actual, what I want to say, we see the policy being worked out right now, and that, I think that's why people are really jumping at this and saying, you know what, this sounds to me like this is the big deal now. That, yeah, it has something to do with depopulation.
Well, it certainly does, and that's one of the reasons why, after hearing it from so many frontline doctors, it's the only logical conclusion that I could come to, and there's probably, if I'm thinking like this, then there's probably thousands of others that are thinking the same thing, if not tens of thousands, that they don't want to take the jab because of it. Because these things are not proven. The trials have been fudged. Information's been modified. The CDC and the FDA and the NIH have all skewed the statistics in their favor, and they're trying to make it look like the unvaccinated are the culprits of this whole thing, when we're finding out from studies in Israel it's the vaccinated that are spreading more of this stuff out there, and that they're more likely to be giving variants. You know, as long as they can play with the narratives and keep people in a state of confusion, this appears to be what they do. And one of the things about propaganda, apparently now there is a this is the most effective attack on free speech in the First Amendment. And you have a some sort of a consent brochure from Dr. Russell Blaylock, who has done multiple studies on why wearing masks are not beneficial, but it's more along the lines of a complicity type of a thing to see just how willing you are to obey and follow orders. And you can get these on the website. Could you go into a little bit of detail about where people can get this information?
That's right. On our nonprofit website, which is citizensforfreespeech.org, you can go there, check it out, get your name on the line, and then you can click over to our store area where you will see these brochures and stuff that we created available for your making a donation and getting a batch of them sent to you. Blaylock actually has done two brochures for us. The first one was on face mask and the dangers, the health risk that there is with face mask. And then the second one he did was informed consent. And he's been a great supporter of Citizens for Free Speech ever since we started, actually. He's an old friend of mine personally, but he was ready, willing, and able to help us when we answered the call of our members who wanted to know, well, what can I have to give to people that's authoritative? And I said, well, I asked Dr. Blaylock, what do you think? Could you write something like, can we make a brochure up and give to people? He said, yeah, I could do that. So he had to take off his scientist hat and write a bit for the common consumption, if you will. And he did a great job, I have to say. It's just a brilliant, brilliant summation. The informed consent document was what he believed, at the very minimum, every person that received the shot should read and understand before they say yes to taking the shot. That's all. And, you know, we personally believe that, the shots are probably dangerous. But, hey, in the end of it, it's a personal choice. It should be a personal choice. There should never be a mandate for anything like this. If people want to do it for whatever reason they want to take the shot, that's fine. They should, you know, it's their life. They should be able to do it. But, anyway, we've continued the process. You brought up propaganda. We just released a new brochure on how to understand when you're dealing with propaganda and what to do about it. This is another issue that people have been asking us about. Well, we know this propaganda, but we're arguing with people who use this propaganda against us to shut us up. And, you know, that's a free speech issue, of course. But propaganda, as it turns out, as we studied it, Six Ways to Sunday, talked to some experts about it, propaganda per se is always, always, always designed to deceive and to trick people into believing things that are not true. And as such, you can't really classify propaganda under free speech, at least to this extent, that when somebody lies, tells something is completely untrue in the media, this falls under criminal statutes of fraud. And nobody's been prosecuted yet. Fauci is about to get it, I think. If Rand Paul gets his way, Fauci's going to get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that thing, whole thing, Patrick, just really is insulting the American mindset. I don't know any other way to put it. I mean, they must think we're stupid to come out there and watch him flip-flop on every little thing, and for us not to ask questions. And if we do, all of a sudden we're a domestic terrorist, we're a racist, we're a, you know, whatever label they want to happen to pin on us, because that's all they've got. They have no data. And I've noticed that in certain bits of propaganda, when you ask them to back it up with data, they can't do it.
No. And, you know, again, you know, this is kind of a philosophical nitpick, I realize, but the left and people like Fauci have been hiding behind the concept of free speech, you know, and they say, well, we have the First Amendment here, you know, we can say what we want. Well, actually, no, you can't. If you lie, if you deceive, if you cause harm to somebody, if you ruin somebody's reputation, you are subject to all the laws of 50 states, not to mention federal law, that governs libel, slander, lying to Congress, lying to a police officer, lying to state legislators, etc. There are all kinds of laws on the books that prevent people from tricking somebody, you know, into some position that just is absolutely false. The FDA sometimes has cracked down on people in the medical industry that are misrepresenting a drug or a substance that ends up harming people in the end. And they actually can get prosecuted and sent to jail for doing so. So if you're a snake oil salesman and you say, well, my concoction here will cure you of cancer, and he makes $1 million at it selling it because people are stupid and they go buy it, and then later he's caught out that, it, you know, found out, well, it's not really, you know, it is just snake oil. It's just, you know, laxative and black crude oil or something.
Flavored with vanilla.
Yeah, the guy's going to go to jail.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, he can't hide and say, well, I have free speech because I live in America and, you know, the Constitution protects my whatever I say. You can't get away with that in a court of law. Just can't.
Lie really.
To a police officer and see how far it gets you.
Yeah, no doubt. See, that's the double standard that we have a tendency to be following right here in America now. And a lot of the reason I think Fauci's not being prosecuted is because of Merrick Garland and the DOJ, and they're protecting him because they have a deeper agenda, which we will get into after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Power Hour. My name is Dave Krieger. I'm your host. The number is 844-769-2944. If you have a question for Patrick Wood, he's going to stick around after the break, and we're going to get to some more in-depth detail about what nefarious things could be going on. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb & Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinua Rega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarest and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And once again, good afternoon. Those of you just joining us, it's 12:33 p.m. Central Standard Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And it's amazing that so many people are shopping the Power Mall. I wish you would. We do. And, you know, trying a lot of these different products. I think it's pretty cool. I just got some Silver Shield deodorant here. And so this is 100% all natural stuff. You got to love it. One of the things that we try to do, you truth seekers out there, is to air programs that they cannot stifle. Stifling information, we're in kind of a propaganda war here because we're being accused when you come out and you say things that you think are supported by data or they're supported strictly by and based on emotion. In other words, they can't think of data, and so they come at you and call you all sorts of names. They attack your character. They attack your credibility. They try to dig up garbage on you. It's all about what a bad person you are. And that you're telling people lies, and you shouldn't be allowed to do that. And sadly, this was all pre-planned. We have Patrick Wood from Technocracy News with us. Dave in Virginia, you are on the line here on the Power Hour. Do you have a question for Patrick?
I want to tell you right there that, you know, there are people like myself, maybe right there, that are paying attention to everything that's going on. It's been going back a few years. And it's like what they did with the women's movement, where all of a sudden Matt Lauer, David Rose, Tavis Smiley, all of a sudden they took all these guys off TV. I used to watch them all the time right there because they had some pretty informational stuff right there that was pretty good to listen to. But all of a sudden, these guys disappeared. And now we got all this stuff going on, and it's kind of aggravating. Like, maybe you guys couldn't get together with some of the people that are on them right there to, you know, to see what their evidence is and to see, you know, how that would come out right there, you know, what turnout of that would be, you know?
Well, yeah, I see where you're coming from, Dave. And the thing is that, you know, multiple times some of our other mainstreams like Tucker Carlson and Hannity and other people like that on Fox have offered the other side to come out and say what's on their mind. And these people don't want to come on the program because, oh, God forbid they would do a thing like that. It would potentially alter the narrative that they've been instructed to give. And I think that's what we're hearing a lot of these days. Patrick, would you agree with that? What Dave is saying? Putting a think tank together like that of, you think we'd just be doing nothing but knocking heads at a meeting like that? Or you really think something positive could come out?
I don't think anything positive could come out of it. Here's the reason why. You cannot argue with an ideologue. There's no acceptance of the facts of other than their facts, which are skewed, of course, to their way of thinking. You cannot convince an ideologue by presenting data to him that he's wrong or that do anything that will change his position. The best thing to do with an ideologue is just to move along and go find other people that you can talk to that you can't persuade. Otherwise, you end up just wasting a bunch of time and a bunch of resources, and it'll get you nowhere.
Right, Patrick. Dave in Virginia, thanks so much for your call. I feel, Patrick, like they've sanitized what Dave was referring to, is they have sanitized all of the people that could give their mainstream media a black eye and basically gotten them out of the way. This is kind of the – does this fit with the narrative, things that you're seeing?
Well, here's the nature of propaganda. This is in the brochure that we just released, by the way, on propaganda. It says it's for free speech. A good propagandist, okay? I don't know how I could say it. Well, there's no such thing as a good propagandist, but you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, Joe Goebbels, go ahead.
Propaganda will always lay a defense to defend his propaganda, and nobody will even know he's laying it out there at the same time. But they have the propaganda, then they have the defense of the propaganda. And when somebody attacks them on the propaganda, they've already laid the groundwork for discrediting the critics. That's the beauty of propaganda. This is done in some marketing circles as well, but political propaganda, technocrat propaganda, these people are masters at this. And you're absolutely right. They laid the groundwork for their defense a long time ago. And now it's hard to penetrate. It's not impossible.
Right, but the people that are actually getting in the way of this stuff are the people that are actually waking up. I mean, it's like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, look what he's just done now. He and Privia Health have ended a 9-year partnership after his comments basically about COVID-19 vaccines. And he apparently got tested positive and, of course, did not play last night. And Green Bay lost, of course, to the Chiefs.
Sure.
Who are sucking wind this year anyway. But Aaron basically was a partner or considered a partner in Previa Health and as a spokesperson supporting the healthcare organization's health and wellness initiatives throughout Wisconsin since 2012. And all of a sudden, because he's come out and saying, I don't know about this COVID-19 vaccine. Now look, you know, what's happening. Now they're shutting him off too. I mean, this is not unlike any other of these frontline doctors, Patrick, that you have seen involved in censorship and prosecution or persecution. They're going after them any way they can.
That's right. And this is the defense that they have laid in advance to make sure that no critic could stand up and, you know, call them for what they are. And they've done a masterful job at it. And basically, we just need to, you know, keep plugging on and just ignore their efforts. And just
so does that pretty much involve staying off of mainstream media and just, you know, focusing on the areas where you can get at the real truth or the truth as you deem it would be? Because there's a lot of ultra right wing out there that are still fear mongering and playing the flip side of that card that's being played by the Democrats on one side. You have totally right wingers out there that are putting the same stuff out. It is possible to be disseminating propaganda in that too. It's like QAnon. They all say, oh yeah, military's going to come in and they're going to take over and they're going to put Biden in prison and he's already been shipped off to Guantanamo. And I'm like, oh, come on. Seriously? Oh, he's a clone. You know, more disinformation. You know, where are they getting their stuff from? If, you know, we're fighting a battle just on mainstream media censorship, but now what's up with the other side, the other narrative? Is it just to keep us in a state of confusion?
There has been a lot of disinformation on the right political spectrum. Some of it is out and out agent provocateurs done it, where they've actually been funded and set up by the left to confuse, or not just by the left, but by the technocrat crowd, to confuse people even more than they already are. This is part of the defense I was talking about. It's brilliant. And it works. And it, people get so confused, they don't know what to believe anymore. But when people return to just common sense, first off, just, you know, use your head, sit back and think about whatever it is you're sucking into your brain. If it doesn't pass the smell test, just stop looking at it. Just turn it off. And if it isn't plausible, if it isn't reasonable, turn it off. Just don't listen to it. I got rid of my TV. Well, I still have a TV, but we have no cable. Don't even watch Fox News. I don't. There's a few places I go. I'll pick up a video here and there if I want to listen to somebody. And sometimes I'll listen to a movie or something. But other than that, I won't pollute my brain with any of this stuff. I don't want to read it. And I could, but I'm not going to spend my time doing it. And I think people just need to start kind of thinking that way. You know, just, you got a brain. It's a brain God gave you, and it's perfectly functional. If you just use it, you can figure a lot of stuff out by yourself without getting all warped out of shape.
True. Chad in North Carolina, you have a question for Patrick Wood.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Patrick, I remember you being on for years when Dr. Stan was still on air. A lot of great information. I never got a chance to dig into it very deep, but it seems to me there's obviously a deliberate plan or operation going on to so confuse the public and put out so much disinformation. For example, I turned on the local public broadcasting station during the weekend, and they were all talking about how much disinformation there was about the jab and how safe it was and on. But I don't know, common sense tells me otherwise. But it seems like every aspect of the mainstream media is, it's as if it's designed to shirk the responsibility of the people who are supposed to be doing a job from actually doing their job. Does that make sense? I mean,
I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so much stuff is coming out right now that the narrative is beginning to crumble. I think this is great. It needs to crumble. But for instance, a story came out of Italy just today. Well, before this, but it just came to the public attention that Italy has recounted all of its death people that died from COVID. And they found out, 97% died with COVID and only 3% died because of COVID. So they're, all of a sudden their body count is reduced by 97%. Well, you remember Italy back in the day last year when they were stacking up bodies and, you know, outside the morgues and stuff, and people were dying like flies and everybody was in a panic over there. The whole country was locked down. Well, the truth of the matter is, looking back now, they've done a little forensic analysis. They said, well, we've come to a different conclusion. I guess everything we said was wrong. And now only 3% actually died from COVID. All the rest of them had other horrible issues anyway. Some of them would have died walking down the street from never even having contracted COVID. So, you know, if you look at that across the world, it's probably going to extrapolate out to every country that's dealt with COVID, that only about 3% of the people that have died really, truly died from COVID because of having it in the first place. Well, the narrative's going to come apart sooner or later.
Well, I think it's starting to right now. Chad, by the way, thanks for your call. And sure. This narrative, it's going to end up falling apart to the point where people, and this is something we were talking about before we went on, Patrick, is, and I've been, you know, people have come at me and say, now, why are you talking about having a civil war? Well, I'm not, you know, we would rather not. In the last civil war, if you look at the way history has shaken out. Over 600,000 people died, and we lived in a very primitive sense of the word when it came to fighting battles amongst each other. But society got so crazy that people were willing to put on a blue or a gray uniform and bring a rifle that fired a single shot and a musket ball and powder. And they would spend all their time in ranks, which I never understood, because this is what the British did during the Revolutionary War. They marched in two by two, and the Patriots basically hid behind rocks and trees and just opened fire and ran and reloaded and waited for them down the road as they came forward, and then shot a bunch more of them. So you got to look at the fact that now technology is so advanced, and this is all part of the surveillance state that kind of bothers me. It's like, Patrick, you can't go anywhere or say anything without freaking people out or tipping off some government agent provocateur or somebody that, you know, literally could, like they did with Randy Weaver, set him up and have him saw off two shotguns, you know, to entrap him. I mean, we don't know technically who to trust. And as I was talking before the break, we were talking about the idea of a civil war, and that why are people buying guns and ammunition and food, especially? And I think, I don't know if it's being driven by fear or disinformation. What's your take on that?
I think there's, I think there is a measure of fear, in the minds of average Americans out there that are starting to see shortages pop up again. They're starting to, you know, they're reading stories at least about, you know, the supply chain being in big trouble. And this will always push a group of people towards, stocking up. I wouldn't say hoarding, but let's just say stocking up. And that's okay. I mean, even our own government says you should have an emergency supply of food and, you know, first aid and a bunch of other stuff on hand all the time. I think, you know, a lot of people have disregarded that, but they're doing that now. The thing about guns in general is the crime is on a tear across the country. And and police forces are being cut back, and that people are realizing that they have to become their own 911. And I think that's as much of anything driving the, you know, gun purchase and stuff right now. I don't think the average blow is headed towards, you know, thinking, I better get ready for that civil war now, you know, it's coming. I don't think that's driving most of them. In fact, most of the people buying handguns right now are women. This is pretty cool, actually. But, you know, they understand they need to start protecting themselves and being ready if they're assaulted or if they're attacked at home or on the street or whatever, or in their car. There's too many stories in the news right now. We have a bunch of them every single month in Phoenix. Carjackings, home invasions, you know, people just randomly getting into trouble. And, you know, people want to be protected. They want to be able to protect themselves. I think this is kind of a healthy thing in a way. Of course, it's driving the left crazy right now because they, you know, they want to take guns away from us altogether so we can't protect ourselves. Well, thank you for that.
Well, it kind of runs into the same situation that Australia did, because they've disarmed a majority of their citizens, and now they've all locked them down, and now they're fining people, and they're trying to basically go after their house, go after their, you know, anything of substance that they have that represents value, their bank accounts, whatever, garnishing their wages. That is, if they don't, you know, quit their job like everybody else. And literally these governments, I don't believe whatever their narrative is, I do not believe that any one government in the world is able to play nanny state, and that includes the United States.
Well, it's not going to work with the people very well, that's for sure. And as long as America still has a healthy reserve of guns tucked away in the closet and wherever it might be in the gun safe, there's going to be a great hesitancy on any type of armed revolution in our country. It'd be very difficult for anybody to pull it off here. It's kind of like during the Cold War, we had nuclear deterrence, you know, where one side had 1,000 nuclear bombs, another had 1,200 nuclear bombs, and who cares? You know, 100 nuclear devices could wipe out the whole planet, right? But it was assured mutual destruction that kept anybody from pulling, you know, from pushing the button. And I guess it worked because we're still here, right? But the fact that America is loaded up with guns is just like that. It's a mutual understanding. You don't attack us and we won't attack you. But if you do, it's going to be scorched earth. And I think, you know, everybody that's trying to attack America right now has a healthy respect for the fact that we are still, you know, heavily laden with all types of firearms in our country.
No doubt. Well, and see, the other narrative, because I brought this up on the show, Patrick, you and I think a lot alike in a lot of ways, regarding what happened back in 2018 when they disbanded the EMP Commission. And now the big thing is, you know, I can't see mutual assured destruction. There's a lot of other people I've spoken with that agree that you can't have mutual assured destruction, because what benefit would that be or represent to an invading force to just nuke everything into an existence with all the half-life of radiation hanging out? Yeah, you're going to kill a lot of people with radiation poisoning, and it's just, you know, in a very short period of time. But EMP, on the other hand, there is really a whole new set of analysis out on this. But the government has disbanded, and the talk on the street was it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when, because somebody out there realizes that, hey, all we have to do is just take out the grid, send them all back into the dark ages, 9 out of 10 people will be dead within a year, and we can just come in and take over. And maybe this is one of the reasons why people are stocking up. I don't know about the narrative, but it seems logical.
I think there is some surface logic on that, and I've heard this exact argument multiple times. My personal persuasion on this right now is, because the internet is absolutely essential to the Great Reset, to everything that the World Economic Forum is talking about. The internet is the core of everything. Without it, they have nothing. They can't possibly control people without the internet. So, you know, the question becomes, well, if somebody threw an EMT over any, say over New York City, wiped out the financial world, wiped out the internet, all the electronic routers and stuff would be shut down immediately. There'd just be absolutely no internet in New York City. Would that serve the globalist interest, or would that tend to wipe them out summarily? Well, they're not going to wipe themselves out, in my opinion. Not intentionally, for sure. So I think it's a very low probability that we're going to see an EMT anywhere in the world. I don't think that's a game that they want to start playing, you know, lobbing EMT missiles and stuff over different countries, because it would completely wipe out the internet on a global basis. I don't think that's in the plan. They would lose.
It does seem unproductive.
Well, for them it would be. I mean, for us, you almost would want to say, well, who cares? Who needs the internet anyway? We did fine back in the 80s and 90s without it, right?
Yeah, but it's not just the internet. It's the electric grid.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so this is a problem. So speaking of the Great Reset, and we really haven't had a chance to touch base on that, and we've got about 4 minutes left. The Great Reset basically is, I hear this stuff and I'm going, wait a minute, what do you mean cashless society? You know, I mean, do you see that in the future? You really think that there's a way that we can counteract those ideas? Because, I mean, cryptocurrency to me is putting all your money into Ethernet, and to me that's at great risk. But then again, you know, have people stocking up on junk silver because of the intrinsic value. So, you know, when they decide, or somebody decides that they want to take away the dollar bill and screw with our store of economy, you know, is this also propaganda? You really see them doing this as part of the Great Reset?
I see the push for cashlessness all around the world. It's not just in America. I think it's in every country. Every central bank has been pushing that way. That doesn't mean it's an automatic fait accompli, because again, people will not stand for it. Even Sweden, one of the most liberal countries in the world, they started down the cashless route 4, 5, 6 years ago. And all of a sudden, after they got into it for a couple of years, somebody woke up and said, what happens if, what happens if we have a power outage? And it's like, if all of our cash is in electronic media in the bank, it means nobody has any way to spend money. They have no way to survive, nothing. So they put the brakes on their cashless thing, said, we're keeping cash in society. And they started pumping, you know, printing cash and whatever, getting it out in distribution. In America, I like the idea right now, symbolically at least, of Cash Friday. This was something that's been popularized by Catherine Austin Fitz, and I think it originally came out of Children's Health Defense group. But Cash Friday suggests to people, don't use plastic on Friday. Pay cash for everything. And when you pay cash for everything, tell people how important it is to have cash in their pocket and how to make sure that they don't become victims of some internet outage or some bank hacking or whatever the case might be. People get it. I've been doing this for a few weeks now. Young people especially, they go, gee, I never thought about that. You're right. I think I'm going to start doing that. It's like, okay, go with it. You know, Cash Friday. Hashtag Cash Friday. I think it's a great idea.
Well, we do that at the Power Mall. I know we have Cash Friday at the Power Mall. So, hey, what a great idea. And yep. I wonder if they got that from you, Patrick.
I have no idea, but I think it's a great, I think it's a great idea wherever it came from. You see, one thing that technocrats, pride for themselves is consistency and reliability. Their little formulas are designed to make everything come out just right for them. Predictable is what I'm saying. Anytime you are unpredictable in your behavior, you drive them crazy. They can't handle it. They can't deal with it. And when there's 100,000 people on the street, they really go nuts because they're totally uncontrollable. So cash flow makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Well, Patrick Wood, we appreciate it. We're out of time, but thank you for enlightening us as to what's going on. There's a lot of logic in there, folks. Citizensforfreespeech.org, technocracy.news, and Dave Krieger with you. We will join you tomorrow here on the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. And in the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.